Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, December 15th, as we're heading for the holidays. I'm joined once again by my friend, by a good friend, Kay Brandt.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Kay.
Thanks.
Thank you for always joining me. You're an amazing person. Oh. I love when you're here.
Oh.
You know, I look forward to it. So there you go.
I do too.
You're a natural. So we're supposed to have a guest calling from Australia, but the Skype connection hasn't happened yet. So we'll see if we can connect with her. She's very interesting and got a lot to talk about. But sometimes, you know, Australia, here.
Well, was it like the middle of the night there right now?
Probably. So I hope she didn't get up for nothing. You know, I sent her instruction to add us on Skype, but we'll see if that happens or not. So anyway, it's a Friday. Beautiful outside, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's the same weather every day here in L.A. And so we don't have seasons, really.
Right.
It's just cold and hot and everything in between. But no rain, no precipitation.
No, but that's usually spring. We get from March to April or March to May is pretty rainy.
I think February is pretty rainy, mm-hmm. too. But that depends if we do get rain.
We had flooding earlier this year, remember?
Yeah.
I mean, so for example, in January of this year, every year I go to AVN, the AVN Awards in Vegas.
Right.
And that happens in January. And a storm, like the weather was really nice when I flew from Burbank to Vegas. And then as soon as I got to Vegas, a storm just set in.
Oh, wow.
And it was a torrential downpour of flooding, everything. The airports were basically like 80% closed. And that went on. I was in Vegas for 3 days, and it was horrible weather for 3 days.
Wow.
Freezing,
really?
And rain. And then I got a text from Southwest on the morning I was supposed to leave, that Sunday morning after the award show, that my flight was canceled.
Oh, my God.
So I had
to... Did you drive?
Yeah, because there was nothing else. I called like all the other airlines and nothing, because McLaren, the Vegas airport, had shut down.
Right.
Very few flights were going out.
Yeah. Well, good thing we're not too far from Vegas, so you could drive it.
Well,
you know?
But you're talking about driving in a torrential storm.
Oh, okay. So it was like the whole road, the whole way was like...
The whole
really?
Way.
Wow.
And I was in a little rental car. Okay. Like one of those tiny, I don't even know what it is. Not like a Civic, but smaller.
Right.
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
And because you end up driving, what is that area?
Pear Blossom?
Pear Blossom, yeah. And that is like, it's two lanes, right?
Right.
One and through the desert. Through
the,
but it's California, not Nevada.
Right.
And it's loaded and it with flooded. Potholes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Badly flooded. Badly. I mean, like, to the point where the water was, like, on the sides of the car was, flying up to here. So that whole ride home was snow heading out of Vegas. Yes, Vegas was snowing. And then terrible storm.
Yeah.
Torrential.
And, you know, I used to live in Vegas, and I remember it gets flooded very quickly.
Very. Because it's a basin.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a desert, so the soil doesn't absorb the water as much, you know.
Right.
Things like that. So, I remember sometimes it was so flooded you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what happens in Vegas. We don't get that very often here. You know, we don't really get a lot of rain. And I love rain. I don't mind it a little bit.
We had some pretty bad. I mean, my backyard was flooded a few times this year or in spring when we
really.
Had some
I don't
bad
even
rain.
Remember when.
See,
we had
just
a lot
block
of rain.
It out of our
mind. Right?
It's like childbirth. You just block it right out of your mind, right? It's like anything else that just like disturbs your mellow. You
yeah,
know?
Right.
Like, oh, it's my backyard is flooded. We'll pretend that never happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting. Is the people that had their homes burned,
mm-hmm.
they're putting holiday lights on there. the burnt homes, you know?
You got to be nuts.
I know, but you know what? I mean, think about what they're going through, you know?
I mean, the holidays with no home. I have lost a home. I was homeless in the Northridge quake in 94. My apartment building collapsed in that.
Really?
Yeah. I was in Santa Monica right on the beach. And that's one of those things that people don't understand about the Northridge quake is that not only did it cause a tremendous amount of damage in the San Fernando Valley, but it split and took the coastline. And Santa Monica and Venice had a tremendous amount of damage.
Really?
Through that. Oh, yeah. My apartment building.
I didn't realize that.
It was an old building built in the 1920s called the Sea Castle. And actually, it's still there as condos because the slumlord tore down. That was like a gift from heaven to that slumlord.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Because it was rent control. And that was the last of Santa Monica rent control where you could actually have an apartment on the beach and pay $400 a month for. But that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and even then that was so cheap. You can't find a one bedroom even in a shitty part of town for $400 a month, let alone right on the beach.
Right. So, and the landlords really didn't like it.
He didn't like it, and like a year before the earthquake, the fire department told him that he had to put in sprinkler systems throughout the entire building. We're talking a 7-story building that used to be a hotel in the 1920s, so it didn't have a normal shape. It wasn't just a box. It was kind of built like a castle, and on the very top, the 7th floor, was just one apartment. It was the penthouse.
Wow.
And he built these. He installed, because he was so cheap, tenement-style sprinkler system. So you know what I'm talking about? The black metal piping that hangs from your ceiling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you see it in like...
Yeah, you see it.
In like, what do we say? Poor housing?
Yeah,
you know,
right?
Like, there's a better word for that. But where the... you know, the piping, I'm drawing in the air right now, but I realize we're on radio, so nobody can see what I'm telling you about. But you know what I'm saying? Okay, so if we looked at the ceiling, you would see rows of black pipes hanging down with sprinkler valves hanging, but they went up into the ceiling.
Right.
Bad way to handle an old building that already had a lot of sea damage, because the sea ate away at that concrete and that cement for years.
It really eats at concrete?
I mean, we're talking decades. So when the Northridge quake hit, the way that the quake went through Santa Monica turned the building in a certain way, made it shake in a certain way, and it came down like a sandcastle.
Do you remember the Northridge Mall's parking lot?
Yes.
That collapsed like it was a house of cards.
I remember. It was everywhere, and it was like, I remember like driving, because when I'm like, I got to get out of Santa Monica because everything was so badly damaged. But where do you move? Like, I was homeless in 30 seconds.
Wow.
There was no going back. The building was red tagged within 30 minutes after that earthquake by the fire department. The 7th-story penthouse had blown out.
Really?
So we're standing on the beach as the sun, because remember, that was 4:30 in the morning. It was dark. So watching the sun go up and then observing the damage on the building and seeing, like, furniture... You know, like you could see in, like, as the wall, the front wall had just blown out. Wow. It had just collapsed. My ceilings collapsed before I could even get out, but it was in spots. But it was all because of those sprinkler systems. So when the sprinkler systems fell, they took the ceiling with it, because they weren't secure in the first place, because it's a shitty design, like the cheapest thing you could possibly do. Not in the ceiling, but hanging from the ceiling, right?
Right.
So that's what caused that building to collapse. On the interior, the earthquake caused the structure to...
I hear you.
It was terrifying.
So you lost everything pretty much in your apartment?
I lost a lot. Mm. But, you know, it's one of those things when you're in that kind of a dramatic natural disaster, it's funny how the brain works, because water was coming down from where the sprinklers had broken, so it was kind of like the first thought that went in my head was, I'm on the Titanic, like suddenly the building felt like the Titanic, like it was going to sink, and I also expected a tsunami, because for years heading out, like in the 70s, I remember as a kid hearing all the adults around me when they're drinking or hanging out or whatever, not thinking that the kids are listening, talking about that it was predicted that the next big earthquake in California was going to cause a massive tsunami and take out the Santa Monica shoreline.
Yeah. Wow.
And as you know, how many homes? Malibu, multi-million-dollar homes built right on the sand.
Right, right. And all along the coast, really.
Yeah. Carbon Beach, the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you go down there, I think even Santa Monica, but it's a little higher from the beach, you know, Santa Monica. It's up on the, but if you go to the South Bay, they have tsunami areas, you know, where it says, you know, this is a tsunami area, so you have to evacuate if there's an earthquake or something, you know. And that's pretty scary when they think about these things. But what can you do? You know, we don't know where it's going to come from. But
well, I mean, it's happened all over the world. Yeah. It didn't happen in California.
Right.
But even with a massive quake like the Northridge quake, which caused an extensive amount of damage, widespread damage.
Right.
It, you know, but it was one of those things. Like, I remember thinking I was on the Titanic and I had a photo album had fallen out of the cabinets. And as the water was coming down and as I was evacuating the building, I kicked the photo album out of the way. Like, and I still have that photo album to this day, all these years later. And it's water damage on the inside. And some of the photos are water damage, but not all the way.
Wow.
You know, it's those things when you hear about the fires and these homes that are obliterated, you forget. It's like, it's not just that they got out with their lives. It's not just that they lost their house. They lost everything in it. Every piece of paper, everything that they were saving from their heritage, maybe not if they didn't have children, you know, from their children's upbringing to their upbringing to their parents or history's photo albums.
Right.
Documents.
The sentimental value to certain things, you know, and you lose them, you know, gifts you may have gotten.
Heirlooms.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you know, let's not talk about disasters anymore.
These are things to me that, like, matter most is understanding the human condition and understanding it's not just that these people lost a home. It's not just that they were evacuated on a moment's notice. I'm talking about the Northern California fires, you know, the Napa. Right. And but it's what was in those homes. Mm. You know, it's the fact that there was lives that they built inside those homes. There were pictures that they're never going to be able to replace. I mean, I think about all the shit that's in my home. Right. And I'm like, as much as I desperately try not to be a pack rat and I'm constantly giving stuff away to the, you know, constantly.
Yeah.
I still, there's things in there. I mean, just documents like your deed. I mean, yeah, you can go down to the courthouse and get another one, but you know what I mean? It's
like, there's things you even forget you have, you know? Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying, you know? I mean, I would imagine, sometimes I imagine well, when I was a kid, I thought if something happens, the first thing I'm grabbing is my guitar, right?
So, yes, because you got to play music when you're homeless on the street.
Yeah, plus it had very sentimental value. Yeah. I mean, my dad bought it for me I was 13.
Oh,
today it's 40 years, about 40-something years
that's
old.
That's very special.
Yeah, and I give it to my daughter, and my son plays it. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's very cool.
See,
you know?
Those heirlooms.
Yeah, yeah. So you never know, you know, but... yeah, I don't know how I can be prepared for this. I mean, think, if you had all the water in the world, drinking water in your home, you still wouldn't have been able to do anything. You know, it would all be gone. So when they say prepare with water and food.
Yeah, it's good to have a flat, but that flat's going to get you through like 2 days.
Yeah.
You got to have multiple flats of water. You got to have a whole like section in your garage or wherever.
Well, but then what if the garage is gone?
Exactly. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So you never can really prepare.
I mean, have a box with all my important documents and I'm always like, okay, I know where this is. If there's an emergency, I'm going to grab this box and run. And then I think, you know, that is like just the tip of what I want to take, you know, those are the essentials, but really, you know, there's so much more.
Yeah, I know. Well, what are you going to do?
Artwork.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
That's true, right?
Yeah,
you accumulate over the years.
Yeah, you look at the rubble and the aftermath, but we don't know what was in those homes and what, you know, like, it was an entire life that they have to say goodbye to and then rebuild. It's not just that, you know, I've said this before in the show, we've talked about natural disasters, but FEMA was fantastic after the Northridge quake for anybody who had gone through significant loss like I had.
Right.
They give you a chunk of money, but it's not anything near to what you would need to gain back what you had. There's nothing that they can do.
Yeah. I know with the fires recently here, I mean, animals died. You know, you've seen like pictures of charred horses.
Yeah.
I couldn't even stand to look at it.
I know.
It was so bad.
Horrible.
And people have to deal with that. You know, it's their animals and their family.
It's a disaster. And it's weird. Like the next day we're like, okay, so anyway, moving on with life. I mean, what can we do?
Right.
You know, there's only so much that we can do.
Right. Yeah, well, I donated some money to someone who lost their home and everything, and they did a GoFundMe.
Nice.
So I thought, God, they have nothing. You know, she's got little kids and stuff. Well, not that little, but still, you know, she lost horses and things like that.
So, her life. I mean, like everything that was her life up until
her
that
business
point.
Was on her ranch and everything.
And insurance, no matter how much insurance money you have on that, it does not cover everything.
Right. I know. Well, let's talk about happier things, okay? I guess John Stamos is going to become a dad at 54.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, right? And, I mean, his fiance looks like she's in her 30s or something. Well,
of course.
More power to him, you know? I guess when you're a star, you can get anyone you
want. There is nothing fun about showing up in your 60s to your kid's, you know, awards ceremony in fifth grade.
Right.
There's nothing cool about that.
It's not fair to the kid, I think.
No,
you
it's
know?
Not fair. I really have a issue with people who have kids over 40 because
really?
It's because
and a young mom and an old dad, you know, and all that. But yeah, that's the reason why I'm not having kids. I wouldn't mind having kids right now. I really wouldn't. I love kids. But it wouldn't be fair to them, you know?
No, can't you just borrow one for a little while?
Yeah, I thought maybe adopt or something, but you know.
I mean like babysit.
Yeah.
Because that'll remind you real fast why you don't want to have another kid.
Right. Or wait for my grandchildren or something,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't mind children at all. I look at my kids' baby pictures and I just love it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's too late now. I got to focus on other things now.
But do the pictures remind you of their tantrums? Do you remember how bad?
No. They were actually very good kids. Aww. It's now that they don't communicate with me that much. But when they do, they have a blast. So I don't understand, guys. Why can't you give your dad a little more time?
But they can. It's just not where they're at in their lives.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was thinking, too, in my 20s, I didn't want to be with my parents.
Right.
But still, you know, if you're living out of town and stuff, text, calling, whatever. But it's like pulling teeth, you know.
Yeah.
But
I think my parents still feel that way. I mean, we just sat down and started the show. My dad just called, and I had to, like, ignore his call, you know. But I'll call him later. But, I mean, he's, you know, it's just like he's at that stage in his life that in his 70s where I'll leave him a message and I'll say specifically, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to be on the radio from 10 to 11. I won't be able to talk to you until sometime after 12 because that's me buying myself a little extra time. Right? Right? And he calls me anyway.
Yeah,
he probably didn't even listen to that message. So why do I bother?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard when they get old, man. I mean, my dad is going through, is getting dementia from his Parkinson's. And it's hard to look at. He's in his 80s, and you see him just fading away, and you go, why should a person have to live like that, you know? I mean, there's no life left anymore other than just surviving.
Yeah.
You know, because he can't read. He can't really do much. So he watches some TV, and he sleeps a lot, you know. And my mom stays home, too. She's in a wheelchair and all that.
Oh, dear.
I know. So, but, you know, we go visit him almost every day. And I love him to death, you know, but I just can't see my dad like that. He tries to express himself. His words come out, you know, blurry and whatever.
What a struggle it must be for him, though.
It really is. You know, it must be scary, too, because he thinks that things are happening that are not happening.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks there's parties in the house and stuff like
dear.
That while he's sleeping.
Oh, dear.
And he's so... Oh, you're so sure of it.
So Parkinson's and what's the other one? Alzheimer's that causes...
dementia.
Yeah, what a horrible way to go.
It really is. I hope I don't go that way. No. I hope I die before that, you know?
Yeah.
In an accident or something.
No.
How else are you going to die, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't just die from old age. It's usually disease associated with old age that you die from.
Good God.
Know? So, yeah. But
you're the one who said you didn't want to talk about depressing topics.
I know. Well, we always go there, you know. But no, I'm happy about John Stamos. He's getting a baby and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
More power to him.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there's a lot happening. Let's talk a little about the net neutrality they voted on yesterday. And that is pathetic, you know. I mean,
it really is.
Yeah, I'm thinking of jumping the Republican Party. I can't stand what they're doing anymore. They don't even represent me, you know. I mean, I'm a conservative, but the party does not represent me.
But it was a wildly unpopular bill in the first place.
Right.
And they still went ahead with it. Against a majority vote of the public saying no.
Right, because that's because Trump is up there. You know, and he controls everything.
This is what makes me more depressed than anything is talking about that. I did get a very interesting Facebook message. Last night I posted on Facebook, maybe you saw it, that if Facebook becomes a pay service. You can just forget it for me.
Right.
Because ultimately what it all comes down to, these are extras. You know, like I'm willing to pay for satellite radio because I'm in my car. I like the lineup. I like the exchange of music. I like the clarity of sound that you don't get from radio.
Right.
I like the variety. I like that I can listen to comedy or sports as well as music anytime. It's just, it's good. You know, there was a time when I was spending a lot of time with my mother, and she's in San Diego. So that's a good 2.5-3 hours away from where I live. So that's without traffic.
Right.
Usually it takes between 4 and 5 hours to get to San Diego. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you know, having that satellite radio was amazing. And it still is. You know, just driving here today takes, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic. And it's having that satellite radio and the ability to choose and to go beyond, you know. But I got a very interesting post from another author who said something, if you want me to read it, about her definition of net neutrality.
Okay. But for those of you who don't understand this, essentially what the FCC voted on, 3-2 along party lines.
Yeah.
It means that now internet is going to be unbundled. In other words, you can't just do anything you want on the internet. Today it could be like, let's say you get a video and you click on it and a message might come up, say you're not subscribed to watch video. Do you want to add the service for $9.95 a month?
Exactly. Well, just like HBO, Showtime or anything else that you pay, like you get this and you pay for this package or even SiriusXM. I don't pay for extra for Howard Stern. I don't care. I listened to him for free for 20 years. I don't need to. I'm not that into it. You know what
I mean? But you don't have to pay extra for Howard Stern.
Yeah, you do.
Sirius?
Yeah.
No, I have Sirius prescription.
Subscription,
and it's not like that.
I don't get it, because I only pay for a certain package, and that package only comes with certain things, and Howard Stern is a premium, and I don't pay for that.
Wow. Yeah. So how much are you paying a month for that?
Well, when I first signed up with SiriusXM was probably in 2005 or 4, and that I was paying, I think my first payment was $12 a month, and I canceled. Because every time you get a new car, you get a year free, right? And I canceled when it kicked in after 6 months, because at the time, $12.99 was a lot of money for me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And they weren't that big back then.
And that was without the Howard Stern package or all those excess premium things. And I don't pay for HBO, and I don't pay for Showtime. I just don't believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, I get better programming. Like, every time you have one of these free previews on HBO or Showtime or any of the other movie channels that are pay services, I'm always disappointed with the selection. It's never any good. It's usually old stuff.
Right, that you can get for free somewhere
things
else.
Things I've already seen on demand.
Right.
Or whatever. Or, like, it's really just if you're kind of like that nostalgic person that wants to like sit in like those 7 channels that HBO or Showtime represents and pick these like random movies that are
But they do have original shows, and that's what Netflix did too.
Yeah, Bill Maher, I really Amazon. Like his, and I like you know, some of the boxing, but I'm really not into boxing. HBO has got a very stylistic boxing you know, thing that they do, and that's cool. But that was like, okay, that's good for my free preview, but I wouldn't pay for this because that's the thing, is that there's a misguided sense in these giant corporations that people have an endless amount of expendable income to spend on all these things. And you know what? Life was good for me before Facebook came along. I'm not going to say that it didn't help. As an author, as a writer, as a filmmaker, it has expanded my reach and my reach to a fan base that I never would have had without it.
Right.
So that can't be argued as far as the benefit. Am I willing to pay for it? No. Fuck no.
Right.
Because it is a distraction, and my life would actually be better without it. You know?
I mean, I'm thinking about quitting Facebook altogether. You know, it's depressing to me sometimes.
Very.
And what I'm saying is, we also got, it's hard in business to start charging for something you gave for free. Now, when you think about this, look, we get a lot of free stuff, but it's not really free. We're giving them all our information. You know, so if they're going to take that and charge us, then I agree with you.
And what really shocks me is that healthcare has spent an enormous amount of money securing HIPAA rights, the Patient Privacy Act, that our information. You go on Facebook, and all those HIPAA laws have been completely discarded because people love to post their shit on Facebook. Yeah. Oh, I just got diagnosed, or oh, my mom's dying of cancer, or oh, this, and blah, 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 blah. Shut up! Yeah. We have rules in place. You know, like, there's HIPAA is for real. That is the only thing that we can say we have a little bit of control of, is the world doesn't know our medical conditions or whatever we're going through or seeking help for, because we have a Privacy Act. That's the only Privacy Act that we have. That's it. It's to protect our medical records.
Right. And even then people hack the fucking
system. And nobody cares, you know? Because really, ultimately, everybody wants to fucking know. But, you know, they want to just tell you, right? But if those HIPAA laws weren't there in the first place, you think that they would be fighting with their doctor or being mad if their medical condition got out without their right to express it on Facebook first?
Right.
I mean, it's like, you know... can I read a little bit of this post?
Yeah, why not?
This author, her name is Patient Lee. She's an erotic and erotic romance author. She posted on that, on my post, she made a comment that said, net neutrality repeal means this. Like banks with ATMs, consumers will likely have to pay twice for some sites. So subscription to Netflix and a Netflix fee to Comcast. So you see what I'm saying? HBO, Showtime, you buy it in a bundle.
Right.
So
that's from what the cable
so
provider.
So it's going to be AT&T, Comcast, whoever else is out there, you know, that's even worth a damn, because most of them suck. Mm-hmm. Most of these providers suck. You know, like they're going to offer these new bundles.
Yeah. And they're going to have more power over us, all those ISPs.
But then you get those and then you don't get the others. Not only they will be either blocked to you or so slow that you won't want to go to those sites. She says Netflix will likely have to pay Comcast to allow their content to be streamed at the same rate as, say, a Hulu and Netflix. And Netflix will pass their fee onto the consumers. ISPs will be allowed to block or throttle certain sites to users.
Right.
No Netflix, because the ISP owns Hulu too, allows big telecom to push out the competition. This is like nothing new to you, right? I mean, honestly, isn't that what you kind of expected when you heard about net neutrality, that would be the outcome?
Right.
ISPs will also be allowed to charge for the privilege of a fast lane to the sites that they throttle. So everything is going to be monetized. The things that we enjoy for free are going to be pay. And quite honestly, if that's a choice, just out of sheer rebellion, I would not pay for any of it.
Right.
I don't need, you know, look, these are all necessary evils that we've invited into our lives, and that's social media. But, and as a personality, okay, it benefits. But at the same time, I was pretty happy with not having any of this in my life.
That's true,
It's a responsibility every single day to find something to post on friggin' Instagram.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's plenty of days when I want to take a picture of myself waving my middle finger and say, this is what you get today, people. You get me with my middle finger. Enjoy it. You know what I mean? It bothers me. I'm simply not one of those people that needs Facebook, that needs Twitter. I'm simply not one of those people that needs to vent to a vast majority of people I don't know.
Or report your private shit that people do all the time. You don't need that.
Right. Even with radio, doing this show, it's... there was a curve where I was like very protective of what I said and kind of just like danced around topics. And then there's other, and then you just get used to it. It's just that feeling of, this is not a necessity. None of these things. And even if it was a necessity, let's say that my sales dropped, which I find almost impossible to imagine because my book sales are so pathetic anyway. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if I was really to see like nothing happen from that at that point, then maybe I would. But it's got to equate. Like, say $5.95 a month for Facebook kind of seems like no biggie.
Right.
But it's only Facebook. Then that's everything else and whatever you're paying. I mean, right now, I'm paying $100 to AT&T for UVerse. I'm paying $150-something dollars
and that's a lot of money, man.
It's a lot of money. That doesn't include my landline, by the way. And weren't we just having this conversation yesterday?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the thing is that's why I don't watch any cable TV anymore. I cut the cord, and now I can watch TV as I want, like a la carte.
I like that.
Whoever I want, you know. So, but that's what they're going to offer too. But they're going to take services that were free or take it for granted and now do this. And you know what pisses me off, Kay, about this is because conservatives are supposed to be about small government. And now they're into everything in our lives, you know? I mean, they're trying to stimulate the economy by this, but this is bullshit.
It's total bullshit.
It's only going to benefit some big companies, and that's it. Everybody else pays, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's just the big three. It's just everything that we, you know, Amazon and Microsoft get too big for their britches, and suddenly they're sued, you know?
Right.
But what about AT&T? What about Comcast?
Right. And, you know, and now Fox and Disney are joining hands, and, you know, that's...
I understand that there's a lot of people that will feel much safer if they buy a package that's Disney family friendly or whatever, and everything in their package that comes through their viewing systems is geared towards family, perhaps religion. Amen to that. You know, they're going to feel great. And what they've done is basically protect themselves from the likes of me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know what I mean? That's to each his own, right. You know? But at the same time, we're growing up in a very sheltered environment. Not we're, but those kids of those families that do that or whatever are going to be used to a very narrow perception, smaller than they already have.
Right.
Which is, to me, terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, the lack of personal interaction with the younger generation is very worrisome, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand the preference for texting, you know, everything anonymous.
Yeah.
You know, and it's... I mean, there's a lot to be said for personal interaction, personal relationships, you know.
And we've completely lost touch with that.
FaceTime, you know.
Completely lost touch with that.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
And I have, by the way, I have a niece who is friends with me on Facebook. Now, remember, I have two Facebook accounts. I have my personal and my professional. It's a lot to keep those up. So one falls by the wayside, and that's my personal. And I could give a crap about that. I am so not into posting pictures of, you know, I'm here, I'm there, this is, you know, I can't. You know, like, I'm just, to me, it's nobody's friggin' business. But I'm old school, you know?
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I'm in my 40s. I don't need, you know, like, I'm way past that. But, you know, and I've had to unfriend on my personal account a lot of people who wanted to be friends with me, and I know the only reason they wanted to is because they're friggin' bored, they are busy buddies, and all they want is to peek into my life so they know exactly what I'm doing because I live a couple of blocks from them, and they want, like, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
don't. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you have no right to this information, but there are a lot of very lonely people who never strived for stardom, who are not in the arts or any other creative field, who their lives are pretty friggin' boring, and they're okay, and that's just the cards that they were dealt. This is what they asked for in their lives.
Right.
Okay, and Facebook and Twitter and everything, Instagram, gives them an opportunity to be somebody.
Be stars, to
and
be that celebrities.
That is horrible.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Everybody wants to become a celebrity. And thus they put up all kinds of weird shit and personal stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like,
but
I'm saying
about my niece. She, like, on my professional page, she's, you know, like, pushes the lines and starts asking some personal questions, and I just disconnect.
Really?
You know, that's what I'm not answering her back because she knows better. And when she's doing that, she's disregarding any thought as to, you know what I mean? There's a reason why my family is not a part of my professional page. There's a reason.
Okay. I see. But also, shit, I forget what I wanted to say. But, with Facebook and stuff, people write things like, for example, a birthday wish to your loved one. Why do you have to do it in public?
I hate getting birthday notifications. Some people live by that shit.
Right. But, I mean, people post, like, you know, like things that are, like, unbelievable.
They say prayers.
Yeah, you know.
They ask for, like, prayers from strangers. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to be a bitch about this, but what the hell? You don't know me. Most of these people on there, I don't have any idea what I'm about.
Right.
And I'm not, and I don't care. I'm not there to share that.
Yeah, right.
You know, but don't ask for my prayers. Don't ask for all that. It's not going to help.
Right.
There is such a thing as collective consciousness. However, I hardly doubt that's people, you know, that you're friends with on Facebook all going, okay, we're going to pray right now for this person and their mother and somebody we never.
They always post, like, prayers for this, prayer for that. It's like bullshit. You're not praying.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, look at me. I'm suffering. Somebody pay attention and pray for me. That's what I mean.
I know?
I mean, it's like, I'm sure I sound like a horrible bitch because everybody...
No, but we're talking critically about Facebook.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense, you know.
Yeah,
and
but that's what it is.
We're not talking about specific people or anything.
Yeah.
And look, everybody gets different uses out of it. It's just that, I guess for us, you have to draw the line somewhere, you know, in what you post and what you like and things like that.
It's just like thinking before you actually post it. You know, I know more about people I don't know than I ever wanted to know.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, I know a lot about people I really don't know.
Right.
I've never met before.
I know. That's why sometimes I do house cleaning. I get rid of some of the
most extreme ones,
you know. Some people are like really extreme, you know, and I just like, this has no place on my feed.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was just thinking either clean out half my friends, which I don't really have time for.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and
friends in quotation marks, because most of them you don't know anyway. Yeah. And because it's more like business and things like that. You know, I mean, if someone sends me a friend request because they listen to the show or something, I'll friend them, you know. But,
sure.
But
we've talked.
You don't know who they are, right?
Yeah. We've talked about this before, how I get a lot of friend requests from men who think that they're going to get some free porn with me. You know?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And the first thing that they do, and you may, this may now jar your memory with this conversation, the first thing they do is send me a private message.
Yeah, right?
The first thing they do is message me, "Hi, Kay, how are you? Tell me about yourself."
Wow.
And you know what I want to do? I want to give them a big fucking middle finger. Because I don't have time for any of that. And how dare they think that I'm sitting around doing exactly what they're doing, which is nothing.
Right.
I wish I was doing nothing, you know? I wish I had that luxury. I don't have that luxury and never have.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, like for me to stop and type out a thorough message that would tell them how I, why would I want them to know how I am?
Right. Who are you anyway?
Why would I want to take the time to tell them about myself? If you don't know me, then why did you send me a friend request, dope? You know, like, so because they're everybody's fucked up. Everybody's fucked up in the head. So they send me these messages, and I just started linking to blogs because I've done an enormous amount of press over the years. Enormous. Yeah. There's probably a good 40 blogs, guest blogs, where I've been a guest on somebody else's blog, whether it be an author site, you know, for writers, or somebody in the adult industry or whatever, you know, mainstream as well. Right. And I just give them the links,
right,
and goodbye,
right,
and then I delete and block.
Yeah.
Because I have no time for any of that, you know, like no time. That's why I told you, like, just send me a text, because I don't even check
those
messages.
I know. And it's amazing how men just hit on women without any regard for anything, you know. Is she married? Is she available? Is she even looking
right.
for
Isn't
anybody?
That amazing?
You know, they just hit on anybody.
And I hear
that women say, well, they, even when they tell the guy, "I'm married," or "I have a girlfriend," or a boyfriend.
Whatever.
Yeah, they'll
significant
still hit
other.
On them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's
oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't understand that. I've never done this in my life. You know, like, just hit on people I don't know. You know,
well,
I mean, what
now
is
think
this?
About their lives. They're probably sitting in their easy chair with their remote control in one hand and maybe their blankie. I don't know.
A bunch of dirt bags.
Yeah, exactly. And they're, you know, anybody on Facebook is seen as free game.
Yeah.
Free game to go after. And, you know, there's a website called Goodreads, which is strictly for authors and readers to connect. Oh. It's for readers to connect with other readers. It's for authors to connect with other authors. Amazon bought them like a year ago and changed the format, and things got a little screwy. But it's been a very good place for me to reach out to authors. To readers, to find readers, because you leave reviews. They, you know, avid readers will put up these elaborate book shelves of different categories. And some of them have, you know, 15,000, 20,000 books, whatever, that they've read. And those are the people you want to be friends with as
That's
an author,
true, right?
Yeah. But I even had somebody that was sending me messages there that said, "Hi, Kay, I'm lonely. Do you think that we could have a phone call earlier?" And I took it. I copy and pasted it, put it on Facebook. And I'm like, if this is any of you, or if you know, or if you're thinking of sending me a message like this, don't. Because there's no faster way to get blocked and reported than to harass me like that, or to think that you could actually... what the fuck? Because I make adult... I run into this all the time because I make adult films. People think that, you know...
You're loose and available for everybody and stuff. Just get around, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that people have no respect for other people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not easy being a woman in this world, you know, where
no.
everybody hits on you all
Very
the time.
Very tough.
You know? and that's or harasses you or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that going on. I mean, Dustin Hoffman is being now accused of sexual harassment.
But yeah, now we're digging in the dirt for this stuff. And
I know, but people are, you know? I mean, everybody is.
Yeah.
Because it's become like... Well,
popular.
Yeah, but maybe it's okay because now women are feeling they can speak out more.
And that's all good.
Right. But at the same time, I'm also thinking, you know, we can't prosecute everybody before we investigate, you know? I mean, the thing is, if a woman just came and said, this guy attacked me, they're going to arrest me first and then ask questions. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. This is the same thing,
it's
you
sounding
know?
A lot like 1984.
Right. You know, I mean, everybody that claims sexual harassment now, the guy's automatically guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But although I believe, you know, when you have a few women saying that, it's probably true, you know. But
yeah.
at the same time, yeah, we don't know. I mean, people are digging into their past and everybody's thinking, oh, who can I get now?
You know? Mario Batali, who is a chef that I've really liked for many, many years. Are you familiar with Mario Batali? He's a famous TV chef. He owns some very high-end restaurants in L.A. called Mozza. One was called Mozza.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of it, no.
Okay,
but anyway.
It's in L.A. And it's like the best Italian food you'll ever have.
Really?
Outside of Italy.
Yeah.
But, he's an incredible chef. And I, at least 2 decades, I've been watching him on television. He's one of the food TV stars. He just resigned. He stepped away from his... from his restaurants
because of accusations,
because he may have squeezed one too many butts in his career. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, that doesn't fly with me. In fact, I remember, I'm not going to mention his name, but we had one of the a big TV star.
Who was it?
I'm not saying.
Oh, you just said you're not going to mention his name.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because as I took a picture of him, he pinched the butt of the woman next to him.
Oh, shit.
And I thought, this is not okay.
No.
You know, this is, I mean, this was like a couple of years ago. So it's not like that this came out now. But so back then, I already thought, this is not right, man. You know?
Right.
And they abuse their power and their celebrity and everything.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
But, I mean, you know, I'm going to get a little philosophical here. But when you strip away everything else in the human species, we are still men and women. And men and women, since the beginning of time, okay, if you're going to go back to the caveman days.
Right.
Men were the aggressors, the protectors, the hunters.
Right.
The leaders. Women were the cookers, mommies.
Yeah, child rearing.
Got dragged around by their hair. You know, I mean, like, we're talking like, okay, so thousands of years of evolution have really not taught us much. Because underneath everything, we are still the same biology.
The same biology. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, if you work on instincts and biology... the world would be chaos. And everybody would be fucking everybody.
I think it is chaotic.
Yeah,
right now.
You know? But we've created a culture with certain mores and standards where we don't cross them, you know? And when people do, it's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable, but, you know, like being in the adult industry, I see it all the time. You know, a lot of porn stars are married, and not all of their husbands are also in the business. I mean, Annika Albright and Mick Blue are a special kind of... There's only a couple other couples that are both married and working in the industry or were performers at one time. They have a very... I mean, I think that the way they see marriage is far more... is better because, you know, they are... okay with their spouse sleeping with somebody else.
Right.
Whether with
it
them
takes
or
a special kind of person to
it
be that way, you know?
You really can't be a jealous person at all.
Right.
You have to have a very open mind. You have to be very secure in your marriage, very secure in your emotions, and very secure about who you are.
Right. But the thing is that when you're about to marry a porn star, I think you should be prepared for all that.
And they're
not.
Oh, they say that they are. I mean, it's an all too common scenario that porn stars... get involved, whether they get married or they just get into a committed relationship with somebody who is a civilian, who is
not porn.
Right. And they are oftentimes mistreated, abused, made to feel shame and guilt for their past.
Yeah. I know. You got to find. And that's why many of them are just within the industry, right? Some of them marry within the industry.
Right.
Yeah.
In some parameter.
I've seen that in many cases. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for a civilian who's been raised with traditional values to accept
right.
that the person that they're fucking at the moment has fucked up a whole lot of other people on camera.
Right, right.
Very hard for men especially to deal with that.
Yeah.
It affects the ego. I mean, you tell me, Sam. I mean, what does it do to a man to know that if you were raised with traditional values?
Right, yeah. That you're with someone who fucks for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah. It look, I mean, no, very few people look at that in a positive light. Only the people in the industry, maybe. I mean, we all consume porn, but we don't want to be associated with it.
That's fine, you know? Because it's meant to be fantasy anyway.
Right,
it is there for entertainment purposes only.
Right, but people don't realize that. And besides, right. you know, when you get naked with someone and you take his penis inside of you, it's hard to deal with, you know?
See, but why?
Why? Because... in a marriage, you kind of expect monogamy.
In a traditional monogamy.
In a traditional
See, that's
marriage.
What we were saying before. If the rules going into your marriage or your relationship are to be monogamous, then
right.
you stand
then
by that because
happen.
It's a commitment.
Right.
But
some people have like open relationships and stuff. Is that what you
mean?
They
do have open relationships. But I'm talking about like, I won't name her name, but there's one performer who just recently came back to the business and she left for about a year, maybe a little bit more, to follow her heart. She moved to Boston. She got involved with this guy and he never stopped torturing her about the fact that she was in porn.
Yeah.
Never stopped. And of course the relationship failed.
Right. But, I mean, but doesn't he know that in the beginning?
He did,
you know?
But that's what I'm saying. Like yeah. even those people who get involved and think that they can handle it can't handle the past. But see, that's the thing, is like we all have skeletons.
Right.
We've all done fucked up things. We've all made mistakes.
Right.
In
well, if it's in the past, it's different. But I'm talking about if it's present,
but
that person
it's
is
only
still
present because it's on video. If she had just fucked all these people in her personal yeah. life and it wasn't a profession and it wasn't there on video or on the internet or whatever for people to still watch and enjoy, then he wouldn't have a problem if it was like right. all in her past.
No, but if it's in the past, that's what I'm saying. If it's in the past, then you learn to live with it. But if it's like ongoing...
I've never seen that happen. I've never seen somebody who gets involved with a porn star
who's
retired.
Still working. Oh, okay.
And can fully accept a fact. I'm not. I take that back. I've seen it like once or twice. I know these people.
Right.
And I don't respect them because they never try to hurt their woman. You know, they never try to make them feel bad for the fact there is nothing wrong with being sexually active.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's just a society doesn't accept this kind of profession, you know, because it's embarrassing
right.
it to people. They don't talk
it
about
it. It goes against morality, what we call right. morality. It goes against traditional values.
Yeah.
But there's an entire population of people who don't live by traditional values at all. And right. they know right from wrong. It's not that they live with no morals. That's
right.
completely not
the But they have people. To understand, though, that if you do get into something right. like this, you're probably going to be on the fringes of society, mm-hmm. you know? And that's a big price
are.
To pay. That's a big price to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, you know, I, I mean, I've seen people marry within the industry and they seem happy, you know? So go figure. Who knows, you know? But I think you have to be, you have to understand that. And the best way to do it is to be part of it, you know? So if you're part of the industry, you understand your girl doing the same thing and she'll understand you. But if it's just one-sided, you really have to be a strong...
Ultimately, that's not unconditional love.
Right. No.
You know?
No, it's not.
If you're going to get involved with somebody who was in porn,
right.
you can't sit there and make them feel bad for their choices before they met you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a one-way ticket to a relationship breaking up.
That's true, yeah. Oh, well, we're almost out of time, folks. I guess they announced the wedding day for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. It's going to be May 19th.
Because she's preggy. She's prego.
Oh, she is?
Well, I heard that in the National Enquirer.
Oh, okay. She probably is
then. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's unusual, huh, for the royal family to have a to get pregnant outside of marriage.
I'm glad that they're loosening up the standards a little bit, you know? These kids have already been through enough.
Yeah, I know.
You know, they lost their mother in the most tragically, most public way they could ever, you know.
That's true.
It's nasty.
That's true. They didn't get that personal time probably to mourn, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, folks, we're out of time. I apologize for the guests not calling in. It was a breakdown of communication, I'm sure. And so we'll reschedule this. Otherwise, have a great weekend. Kay, thank you so much again.
Oh, you're welcome, Sam.
And we'll see everybody on Monday.
listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.